Great. So I think there's at least one person or two people I don't know. So let me introduce myself. I'm John. My wife Chris is over there. And we have Adam and Simon with us also. We're from Emmanuel Church in Durham. I can't remember how many times we've been up here. Is it about 4 or 5? Something like that. So we've been coming up every few months just to support you and to help you. I think you're doing a fantastic work up here, and it's great to see this community grow every time I come up. Before I actually get going, I want to just tell you one or two things and maybe ask for your prayers in due course. So 4 weeks from today, it's about now, I will be at Newcastle Airport because Chris and I are moving to Tokyo for a year. We're kind of going with our jobs, so Chris is going to be working there for the Japanese Space Agency. I'm going to be working at one of the universities there. But about a year ago, slightly less than a year ago, when we were at a church conference, actually God came and spoke and said that he had other plans for us, and he said that he would be using us to pioneer some work for him. He's actually told us not to try to get preconceptions because we might miss it. So we're going in faith with no idea quite what it means for us to pioneer a work of God there, knowing that it's going to have to be by a miracle because it's a completely bonkers idea. Right, we're both going for only for a year. We're both going to have busy jobs. We don't speak the language. It's completely bonkers, but if God's in it, he's going to do it. So I would appreciate your prayers. We will try to feed information back. Chris is much more technological than I am, so I suspect she's going to be the conduit. I can just about WhatsApp, so if anybody WhatsApps, we can WhatsApp and have a group. So that's just to let you know what's happening. I've been talking to one of the other leaders on the eldership team in Durham, and he says that he'd be quite happy to come at least once while we're away, so maybe next time it'll be somebody different. But it's great that we've actually got this relationship between the churches, and we want to just keep strengthening that, keep supporting you in whatever way we can, because I think you're doing a fantastic job, and so that's, yeah, we want to support you. Great. So one of the ways that God supports us, he supports us when we have difficulties. He didn't say that he was going to take us out of the world and kind of protect us in a holy little Christian bubble. He actually said that we would be in the world, but that he would actually be with us and that he would protect us. And what I want to do is I want to share a bit from, well, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to turn to it, then you don't, but if you don't want to, you can just listen. And this is, I want to make this very practical. I want to talk about how I've used this passage of the Bible when I've been going through difficulties, and I'm going to give you some strategies that have been very helpful to me. Maybe they'll work for you, maybe they won't. But I hope and pray that they will. So we're going to be talking about the armor of God. So let me start off by reading this. This is from the ESV. This is Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, reading through to the first half of verse 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert. It's a very well-known passage. Probably many of you have heard teaching on this before. And the image that Paul's using here is that of a Roman soldier and the armor that they would have. And that was probably an everyday image for the people there in the Roman Empire 2,000 years ago. They would be used to seeing these soldiers around on their streets. And possibly they wouldn't welcome it, the fact that they were being occupied by a foreign power, but it would be a familiar image. Now, when we look at it 2,000 years later, we can have a slightly rosy-tinted, romantic image of what this is. And we have all these little pictures that, you know, certainly when I was at school, we did the Romans, and we had all sorts of beautiful posters around the school classroom. And they were all beautifully sanitized and very, very nice. And that's kind of not really the point, because it's not that we actually have a very nice and sanitized life, which we can look at through rose-tinted spectacles. We've got some people who we know who like to do reenacting. And at some point, we were down at Corbridge Roman site, and they were reenacting being Roman, and it was Roman without the grunge. And that's really not the image. So what I would like to do is I would like to update this image of the soldier to something that's actually a little bit more familiar to us, to something we see on our televisions and we see in our newspapers. And that's of the riot policeman. Right? You all have seen these guys in when there's some civil disturbance, and they're there with their big plastic shields and their kind of crash helmets and their black armor. I found the following piece from, this is from a journalist from The Independent, who's called Kevin Rawlinson, and he went on riot police training. And this is his account, or part of his account, of what it was like to be on riot police training with the Metropolitan Police, TSG. I had to look this up. This is his territorial support group. It's taken from his article. So just imagine this riot policeman you've seen on your screens. The petrol bomb exploded half a yard ahead, and the flames billowed towards me. They came around and under my shield and swept up towards my face. I did not see who threw it. I'd been transfixed by the flaming bottle as it flew through the air. This was, after all, my first time being petrol bombed. The TSG officers carry a helmet, a stab vest, shoulder and forearm armor, shin, thigh, and groin guards, as well as steel-toed boots, and of course, a 5'6" tall riot shield. One of the strengths of the TSG, an instructor told me, is that they train together, stick together, and work together as a team. As the remains of the petrol bomb burned around my feet, I could feel the heat through my clothing. I began to back off and to look down to see if I was on fire. But my partner demanded that I stand my ground and look forward and face the threat. As he did so, I realized that he was relying on me not to mess up just as much as I was relying on him. That's an image without the rose-tinted spectacles. That's the image with the grunge. And sometimes that's what it can feel like in our Christian life, that we have metaphorically petrol bombs being thrown at us, and we have to stand our ground. And actually, we've been equipped. We've been given the equipment, which is the full armor of God, which helps us to stand our ground. Notice the parallels between that article and the piece from Ephesians. Of the armor that he was carrying, there are four items in common. He has a helmet. While the modern version of the breastplate is called a stab vest. I rather like the phrase the stab vest of righteousness. He has steel-toed boots, and he has a riot shield. What was he told to do? He was told to stand his ground and to keep on standing. And also, like with the TSG, we're all stronger when we stand our ground together and we rely on each other not to mess up, just as we're relying on others not to mess up. So when I've been going through difficulties, I have gone to this passage and I've every day almost tried to metaphorically put on the armor of God. Just like I put my clothes on, I would sit there and I would go through. And I do that by meditating on these six items in the armor of God, and to think what they mean, how to get them, and what they're good for. What I want to do today is I want to just quickly share through each of those six items and give you a list of pointers so that if you're going through difficulties and you're under attack, you'll be able to use this passage in the same way that I've been, and I've found it very helpful. Because as we think about it and as we meditate on what these things mean, then actually it enables us, God, to make us stronger as we have access to all the things that he's already put in place, so that when those flames seem to be coming up, then actually we have something to deal with them. I also want to point that every one of those six items, they're all things we get from Jesus. It all points to Jesus. And I want to give you a scripture for each of them that shows that those six items, they really come from Jesus, and he is our strength, and it's in his strength and only his strength that we can stand in days of difficulty. Okay, so let's start with, and the first one is the belt of truth. And to point to Jesus, this is in John 14, verse 6, well-known scripture that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So Jesus is the truth. It's an amazing thing to think about. So I was thinking about truth and what truth is like. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation with somebody who you didn't trust was telling you the truth in that circumstance, where there's somebody, everything they say, you're having to weigh up. Now, how much of this is really true, and how much am I having to kind of just discount because it's actually not right? And it makes you feel a bit insecure and a bit wary, and you can't actually get on with doing the things you need to do, because you're not confident that they're speaking the truth. So Paul likens this to a belt. I travel quite a lot, and when I'm traveling, I often have to go through airport security. These days, I often have to take my belt off, and that makes me just a little bit insecure. I can't quite do the things without thinking that I would normally do, because I'm a little bit careful that I want to keep my trousers. And actually, truth is like that. Truth is a belt that actually holds things in place that need to be kept in place. It enables us to do things without actually having to assess and think about what's going on. It's like me, when I've got my belt on, I can be confident that I'm going to keep my trousers. And that's always a good thing, particularly when I'm preaching. The contrast to this is that Satan is described in John 8:44 as the father of lies. On the three occasions when Satan came to tempt Jesus, he used the words of God, but he twisted them. And he twisted them to mean something that they didn't mean. And that's what not having the truth is very much like. Whereas with Jesus, we know that he is the truth, and we can trust on him, we can rely on him. And so if you're in a situation where you're not confident about that, so about the truth, meditate on that he is the truth. He will lead you into all truth, and he will guide you into the truth. And he is more than capable of showing you what is happening. A second item is the breastplate of righteousness, or the stab vest of righteousness. In Philippians 1 and verse 11, it says, this is coming in halfway through a sentence, it says, we're filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. That's again pointing to Jesus. Our righteousness comes from him. So what does a breastplate do? It protects the heart. It's something that means that whatever is coming against you, the heart is protected. And in the parlance then and now, the heart is the seat of the emotions. And that can be a way that when you're going through difficulties, Satan can come in and affect your emotions. It could be with fear. It could be with insecurity. It could be with anger. It could be many things. But actually, the breastplate of righteousness that protects your heart, it protects your emotions. So we, in the sight of God, are righteous through Jesus. That's a legal term. It means that we do not have any need to be guilty. It means that there are no charges of sin against us through Jesus that can stand. And when we know that we, in the sight of God, are righteous, that gives us a confidence, and it means that all of those things that would come and get our emotions, all that guilt, the anger, and the doubt, all those things, we realize that actually in Jesus, I'm righteous. In Jesus, I have no need to be fearful. I have no need to be anxious or doubt. No need for all of those things, those emotions to come and disrupt us. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, it says, because of him, you're in Christ Jesus, who became the wisdom from God, righteous and sanctification and redemption. Because of him, you're in Christ Jesus. And he became our righteousness for us. The breastplate of righteousness, there to protect your emotions from any attack from the enemy. The third item are the shoes of the gospel of peace. Well, we all know, particularly around at Christmas time, Jesus is described in Isaiah 9 as the Prince of Peace. He also says in John 14, 27, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So why are shoes associated with peace? Well, shoes are to do with movement, of travel, of progress. And in all of those things, there can be danger or things that we don't know. It could be danger as we travel, or it could be fear of what is at the other end once we're taking a journey. But Jesus says that he gives us his peace and that we should not let our hearts be troubled. And so as we go about our daily life, he's going to give us his peace. However difficult the circumstance, whatever is going on, whether it's fear as we travel, whether it's fear of what lies at the other end, we're going to walk with the gospel of peace. We heard one of the Beatitudes earlier. There's another one that says, blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus gives us peace. By casting our burdens onto him and trusting in his goodness, we can survive all of the anxieties and all the troubles that the world would like to throw at us. as it says in Philippians 4, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. As we move around our daily lives, he will give us the shoes of the gospel of peace. We now move on to the shield of faith. On one of the pictures of Jesus in Revelation, it says, I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it, that's Jesus, he is called Faithful and True. So once again, it's in Jesus that we can have the shield of faith, that he is the faithful one, and faith comes from him. So what is faith? Well, in Hebrews 11, very well-known verse, Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And in Romans 10, 17, it tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. There are many, many things in life that are unknown. And as we look forward into the unknown, we can have one of two responses. We can look forward into the unknown with fear, which is a negative thing of working out what the worst that could possibly happen. Or we could look with faith. And faith is the same thing, but it mixes Jesus in. Instead of going down the spiral, it goes up the spiral, because it says, as we look forward with faith, what could God do in this situation? What miracle could he do? As we go to Japan, we're going to look with faith to see what God could do. We could go with fear, but no, we choose to go with faith. I like the phrase here, the shield of faith, that quenches every flaming dart of the evil one. Or to say it slightly different, every flaming dart of the evil one. Just like Kevin Rawlinson on his riot training, when that petrol bomb was coming, his shield was there to protect him. And it's not some of the things, it's not that little shield that we have to kind of dodge like you would on a computer game or something, and they can come past you. No, it's a great huge shield, and it protects us from every flaming dart. I know that if the enemy comes against me, then I've got a shield of faith that God's given to me to do that. It's always a risky thing to start preaching on some of this. The week when I was preaching on this, the first thing that happened was the drain between our house and the main drain blocked, and we had floods in the house. And then the car battery went, and I couldn't. And all these things, well, those were little things, we could overcome them. Now we have Simon not well. I mean, we're actually engaged in spiritual warfare here, but we have a God who is bigger than anything that the evil one can throw at us. We have the shield of faith that's going to extinguish every flaming dart of the evil one. I remember Kevin Rawlinson saying that the flames came around and under my shield and swept towards my face. I could feel the heat through my clothing. We might often feel the heat, but we know we're kept safe in the arms of Jesus. Next is the helmet of salvation. Another Christmas verse here. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Jesus is the Saviour, the author of salvation. Again, this item of the armor of God points back to Jesus. What's a helmet for? It's to protect the head. What's one of the areas that we can become vulnerable to attack? It's in our thoughts. All those little thoughts that just come in, thoughts of doubt, thoughts of being alone, thoughts of insecurity, all those thoughts of suspicion maybe, whatever it is, all those thoughts of temptation to do something we shouldn't. But we have salvation. Salvation, it's turned into a bit of a cliche religious word, but it means that we're saved, we're rescued. Like when somebody has been kidnapped and somebody comes to rescue them, we are safe. Or perhaps there's a ship in difficulty in the sea and the lifeboat goes out to save the people. This is what's happened to us. We used to be on the sea of life, drowning, but now we're saved. Jesus has come and he's made us safe. In Romans 12 and verse 2, it says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect." As we renew our minds in Jesus, then we're able to recognize when these thoughts that come across, when we know that they're not from him, and we can use the helmet of salvation, that we're safe, that our minds can be renewed and those thoughts can just keep on going without lodging in us. Finally, we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, our modern-day riot policemen might not have a sword. I very much doubt they will have a sword. They might have a stun gun, they might have a taser, or they might have tear gas. So that's our way that we can update that old-fashioned image. This is the only offensive weapon in the armor of God. All the other five are defensive weapons. And let's just talk about what it is, the word of God. In the Greek, there were two roots that get translated as word. There's the one logos and rhema. Many of us know all of this. The logos is the written word of God, something which is true and stands firm for all time. That would be what we're talking about with our Bible. But then there's the second it's word for word. It's very tricky thing to talk. The second root is rhema, which is the spoken word. It's the now word. It's the do this now. It's the thing that we would, as we're talking together, we would speak rhema to each other. And as, if you look through the different places it's translated, it's all often to do with conversation or with somebody speaking to a group of people. And that's what it's used here. It's the rhema of God, the spoken word of God that we can use. And then it says elsewhere that we can use this like a sword I'm not being quite true there. It says here that it's like a sword. We'll come on to that in a second, sorry. It's like a sharp sword. That's a weapon that we can use as we can speak into a situation. God says this, or perhaps God has said to us, and that means that we can go forward into a situation. Where am I? Yes. Of course, the other word, which is logos, also applies quite a lot in this sense. In John chapter 1, Jesus is described as being the word, the logos. And in Hebrews 4, which is what I was just referring to and stopped myself in time, again, it's the word, the logos, which is, again, like into a sword. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So those are the six items of the armor of God. So how can we make this practical for ourselves? When I've been going through seasons of difficulty, as I said earlier, I will, in the morning, just when I put my clothes on and I sit down and I pray and I try and I consciously go through each of them. I say I'm going to put on the belt of truth. And I say to God, show me the truth in whatever situation that I'm in today. Reveal to me your eternal truth over me, or in particular situations, show me the truth that I need to know. I consciously put on the breastplate of righteousness to say, I know that I'm righteous before God. I'm righteous by the blood of Jesus. And I ask for protection over my emotions. Whatever comes against me, that I will not be fearful, I will not be stressed, I will not be anxious, I will not be angry, but that the righteousness of God will protect my heart. I also ask to put on the shoes of peace, that wherever I go, I will be at peace in whatever situation I'm in. Actually, I will be somebody who brings peace into troubled situations, and God will give me words of peace to speak, and that just by being filled with His Spirit and being a man of peace in a situation, I will be able to affect what goes on around me. I say that I trust Him in every situation, and that faith would be my shield and my protector as I go about through the difficulties. Anything that would come against me, I take up that shield and say that I want to be protected, and I know that I trust in Him. I'm sure of the things that I don't see, because I trust in Him and I know that He's provided them for me. I say that my faith is going to come by His word, so I ask Him to speak to me so that I will have faith in whatever situation I'm in. I ask for protection on my mind, that I will be safe, that the helmet of salvation will protect my thoughts, and that no thoughts that would be able to come in and disrupt what I'm doing. And I ask Him to speak His word through me, that word that's like a sharp sword, and to speak His word to me, so that any tangles that I'm in, I'll be able to cut through with the word of God. And in my experience, that really helps. It helps to focus me on God and all the things that He has for me and all the things that He has put in place to protect me. And when I've been going through difficult circumstances, that is one of the things that has kept me going and kept me following Him and kept me in His ways. So I've no idea what the situations and the circumstances that everybody here is going through, but purely statistically, there will be people who are going through different sorts of difficulty. And I want to pray with you, and Chris and Adam want to come and pray with you, that we will see God's victory in whatever circumstance you're going through, and where relevant, one of these pieces of armor will be there to protect you and to keep you going forward. So I saw Adam writing lots of words down. God often speaks through words of knowledge through him. So maybe Adam, if you would come and bring some of those. As we were worshiping earlier,